Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Little more than 5 hours away from Game 3, Wild Card Series. Yankee Stadium, Red Sox, Yankees. Red Sox won Game 1, so that means they're going to win Game 3, right, Fitzy?
That's right, because we're going to be keeping with history. No team that has won the first game in a three-game Wild Card Series has ever blown the series before, and we are not about to be that team, says a guy who roots for the team that completed 2004.
13 series, can't be wrong. It's been up, Ted Johnson. I don't know if you know. It's no longer 12 for 12. It's now 13 for 13, mm-hmm. Thanks to the Dodgers advancing in the NL. Although we'll see what happens with the Guardians.
It's a fait accompli. Why play the game if it's already a foregone conclusion?
Well, because
right?
They're very entertaining, just like last night's game.
Boy, they are. Oof.
I got what I wanted, except the victory. I got the entertainment, the edge of your seat, the angst, the highs, the lows, more than the highs too often in that game. But we'll get back to Red Sox, Yankees in just a bit. It's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here. That means it's time for the three-point stance.
319!
Ready!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you, your highs, and your lows got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Damn right.
All right, your 60 seconds. Let's begin right now.
The Patriots have a massive challenge on defense Sunday night in Buffalo. They have to stop a guy that's off to an historic start to the season, a guy who has done so well this September that he became just the sixth player in the history of the game to play this well, and he was just named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for his accomplishments. You thought it was Josh Allen? No. That's Bills running back James Cook. 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown in each of his first four games. He's only the sixth player in history to start a season that way. James Cook is an underrated weapon on that Bills offense, a guy that averages 5 yards a carry.
5.3.
He maximizes his runs, and he presents a massive challenge for this Patriots defense that's starting to feel itself a little bit. We might be starting to feel like that $100 million invested in Milton Williams, worth the money. That $30-plus million invested in Robert Spillane, worth the money. Yes, you need to deal with the best player on the planet in recent years, Josh Allen, but don't sleep on James Cook. James Cook could be the key to the Bills' success and or failure if the Patriots are going to have the upset Sunday night in Buffalo.
It's strength on strength. The leading team in the NFL in rushing yards per game is the Buffalo Bills. The number two rushing defense in the NFL is the New England Patriots. So it's strength on strength when it comes to
man against man.
He counts for 122 all-purpose yards, that being James Cook. So he's obviously, and they average 450 yards a game. So it's he's a big part of what they do. So that's
no one talks about him.
That's not the worst idea. I would think maybe in third downs situations that you would maybe put two linebackers on James Cook as opposed to one.
And try that again.
What happened to Robert Spillane in that Miami game doesn't happen again.
Yeah, let's try that again. And yes, Fitzy, it could be Dr. Gibbons in that mix.
I'm with you, Andy, by the way. I think he might be the most unheralded superstar in the NFL. And he did the Instagram wash and the I'm not talking to you in the offseason. I want my contract. He got the bag. Honestly, worth it. This guy is, he is the one, the same way Terrell Davis back in the day elevated John Elway to superstar, Super Bowl stardom. James Cook could be the guy that helps elevate Josh Allen to the promised land for Western New York.
I mean, that's scary to think about. Look, I've always said, you know, Buffalo, if they ever get like a dominant defense, forget it, right, to go along with that. But I always, sometimes, if you can't have a dominant defense, have a dominant running game. Just something to take the pressure off of Josh Allen.
Yep.
And that's, they got a dominant running game, and so that's taken a lot of pressure off him. And so the play action is more deadly. His running the football is more deadly. His shots down the field are more deadly because they're worried about stopping James Cook.
I actually think if you asked, you know, a somewhat knowledgeable slash average NFL fan to just list off the best running backs in the league, I think it would take a while before the name James Cook got to their lips. And that
wouldn't
is
he been the top 10, Andy.
I mean, hell, he's still trying to prove he's the best member of the Cook family.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought Dalvin was better, but with NFL careers being compared at this point, I think James is better. And he just doesn't get and I get it. Josh Allen literally is probably the best football player on the planet right now, right? Schefter said that yesterday. But that doesn't mean, like, Tom Brady was the best football player on the planet, and we still talked about Gronk and Edelman and those other people that were around him. It's time for people to respect James Cook. And it's also time for the Patriots to stop him if you think you're going to pull the upset.
Can I mention a name that I think we could probably all agree will not get much mention and is going to be massive if the Patriots are to stay close, if not pull off the upset this weekend? He's actually gotten some love on this program, so good on us. Kyrus Tonga.
Oh, yeah. Tonga is a solid find for them. I don't want to, you know, go too far. They've had these guys. We mentioned it, Fitzy. We kind of liked in recent years Daniel Aquale.
Huge Daniel Aquale fan.
And he's in that same mold. I'm not looking for them to cut Christian Barmore because Tonga's so good. It's like, no, he fits his role well as a complimentary guy in there. Or when he's leading the way for Marcus Jones to score on a punt return touchdown with his fist in the air and celebrating 40 yards.
Andy, when Vince Wilfork moved on to the Texans, who took over his role for a couple of years, including recovering Dont'a Hightower's fumble in Super Bowl 51.
There's a lot there. Was it the guy who had like diabetes or whatever that went to the Panthers
huge,
afterwards?
Huge, giant man, wore 96.
Yeah.
I'm going to think on that for a sec.
Yeah, I am not going to come up with a name, not today anyway.
Well, we'll leave that one for tomorrow. And in the meantime, Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
I am most certainly ready, and I am way too fired up about this.
All right, well, here is 60 seconds. Good luck.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you some audio from the NFL yesterday. Stanley, hit it. Okay, cool. Actually, you know what? If we all just don't make any noise for 3 seconds, okay, that's what the audio would have been. You see, yesterday, the Cleveland Browns announced they were making a change at quarterback. And that's right, Dillon Gabriel, their third-round selection from the University of Oregon, will now supplant old heave-ho Joe from Jersey, Joe Flacco, at starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns because, well, Flacco's old and been mildly inefficient, and the Browns kind of suck. Dillon Gabriel will be starting over Shedeur Sanders, who, when asked, of course, lest we forget, he was taken in the fifth round of the NFL draft, 2 rounds after Dillon Gabriel. When he was asked what he thought about it, did a mime routine and pretended that he couldn't talk and didn't have anything that he could or should say about it. This, to me, was the greatest display of immaturity I have ever seen from an NFL football player or professional athlete in my life. Thank you so much for validating why you fell to the fifth round. Thank you so much for reminding all of us what a jackass of privilege you are. Thank you so much for reminding your coaching staff, your ownership, and your fans that you are part of the problem and not a solution for the Cleveland Browns to come anytime soon. And thank you so much for reminding me why I will be rooting my ass off for Dillon Gabriel to succeed and never give you a look at starting quarterback with the Cleveland Browns or any time during your rookie contract. I would dare ask you to show some humility, but you never have to this date. So why start now, Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, this was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
But you know why it happened, right?
What do you mean?
Why did he do that?
Because he's crazy. I mean, I know he was responding to criticism from Rex Ryan, but
right.
That's no, but that excuses him for the idiocy of it. If you want to respond to Rex Ryan, use your big boy words and respond to Rex Ryan. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like,
I'm just telling you what the impetus was for it.
Right.
I get it. Ted, it's such a bad look. Like, it's like, wish the kid well. Do something different. Every time the spotlight is on this guy, it's always, how come, you know, it should be working out for me. Me. Like, yes, there's some Rex Ryan implications to it. But the optics on this, when Cleveland's in the midst of this situation and they have this quarterback carousel, he's looks so bad. He looks so bad. He makes the organization look so bad. He comes across as so immature. I can't stand it. I'm sorry. It just bugged the hell out of me. I was sitting on that for almost a day. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. I'm not defending him. I think that it was a horrible look too. I'm just telling you, if people didn't understand why he did it, then I wanted people to
appreciate the context. Thank you.
That's all. It was that was in response to Rex Ryan, and Adam Schefter clarified that on one of the shows yesterday. So it's I mean, look, there was all these signs out there. People, you heard stuff about some of the behaviors all while he was there in Colorado. You heard about some of the behaviors leading up to the Alamo Bowl against BYU last year. I mean, you've heard a lot of stuff in the pre-draft process about him, that he was terrible in his meetings with teams.
Yep.
And then you had certain people, Mel Kiper, for one, that were defending him to the hilt in draft night and saying, just calling out teams for not drafting him earlier. He's got a little bit of egg on his face. But this was doomed to fail from the very, very beginning. It really was. And so it's people that thought he had a first-round grade, please, give me a break. I mean, he was a decent quarterback in college, but
Retired his number.
I know, but don't even start with that. So I'm with you on that, Fitzy. I thought it was embarrassing. And he was smiling the whole time, like he was the funniest guy. Just he's had a warped kind of sense of reality, probably the home he's grown up in. You know, it's a very overconfident household that he was raised in, and so it's not surprising that this is the immature, petulant kind of behavior we're seeing being played out. I mean, why would anybody hitch their wagon to a quarterback that acts like that?
Right. The position where leadership, I mean, we've had some criticisms, minor criticisms of Drake May based on a thing he says or how he celebrates. Mike Frey, like, those are the things that when you're a quarterback are in the spotlight. Something little can be a big deal. When you do something like this, this is a big deal that's an even bigger deal. And he's a child of privilege. You nailed it. Yep. I mean, remember when Deion arrived at Colorado? Your Buffs. And he's like, I brought my Gucci with me. My son's the quarterback. And he didn't even pretend there would be
and
a competition.
And basically told him, everyone in there is gone.
Just go.
I'm bringing guys in to take your jobs.
It's not surprising that he has a sense of entitlement. And he thinks he's entitled to an NFL first-round pick, an NFL job, an NFL opportunity.
And can I also just sort of say that, you know, Ted, let's take the context that you provided in an auxiliary capacity into focus here, okay? So he does it like he's trying to be clever and fire back at Rex Ryan now that he's got a little thing going between GetUp and the Cleveland Browns. Okay, that's fine. But the fact that he couldn't see that what he was doing would look so bad and embarrass himself and embarrass his team, and also just completely take all the spotlight away from Dillon Gabriel, who the team chose over you in the draft and now is starting over you, and he can't be a good teammate. Nope. Just like goes against everything. Like, Andy, I imagine, you know, you're coaching football a couple years ago or something. Like, wouldn't you just tell somebody like that, like, you know what, pack your stuff. We're good.
I mean, they should. Yeah. But they can't lose here as the Browns. They took a guy that he has ability. He definitely has ability. And they got him much later than everybody expected. So if it blows up, okay, you wasted a late round. You get the scratch ticket. And you got one pineapple. Oh, my God, I got two pineapple. I didn't get the pineapple. You throw it in the garbage. For a second there, you thought you might add $1 million. Instead, you throw it in the garbage. The one thing I will say is I listened to the audio, and there were maybe, at least the part I saw, four questions, something like that, from reporters. I was surprised a reporter, and that's a place that has Mary Kay Cabot, Tony Gross. Like, there's veteran guys in that media, women and men. Nobody was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, they kept asking football questions instead of, what is this that you're doing right now?
I think, like, one of them was like, what day is today? Trying to get him, like, are you going to answer any questions? Like, I would have just walked away.
See, no, I would have said, do you think you're helping your image right now with this performance you're putting on? And see if he just continues it, or see if you can kind of break him of character from that. Because I've seen embarrassing ones in the Patriots locker room, but nothing like this.
That's what I was gonna ask you guys. It's just the wildest. Does this take the cake as far as player locker room?
What was the worst you've seen?
There was one.
I'm thinking of one. Wore my number.
Nope, not that one. Mine was, it might have been Jermaine Cunningham. It was a defensive end, and he, after a preseason game, he answered every question with the exact same sentence. It was something to the effect of,
I'm just doing, so I don't get fined.
Similar to that, I'm just doing what they coach me to do. Oh, so how did it go? I'm just doing what they coach me to do. And it literally went maybe 8 or 10 questions long before everybody just walked away. And it was weird. What was yours? Wore your number. Not you.
Monty Beisel.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he have a blow up in the locker room?
But I put that on a little different, because that was like an actual fight between him and Curran, as opposed to like some weird performances. Because guys perform. Like, guys do this. He's not the first I've seen do this, where they clearly come to their locker knowing they're going to be asked certain questions. You know, Wes Welker's the funny one when he did all the foot jokes.
Oh,
for
the best.
But some guys,
Marshawn Lynch had the best one.
Marshawn Lynch. Like, those are the examples.
He's a Hall of Famer, though. That's, yeah. I'm going to forgive the Hall of Famer in this circumstance. Oh, wait, I know Andy. I can think of one who was awful with the media, awful with the fans, didn't even last a season. Cassius Marsh
was a guy that was not great. But in terms of an actual, like, premeditated performance like this, this is by far the worst and craziest I've ever seen. And then, so your dad is a head football coach. He's a leader of men, right, Ted, at your institution?
He is, yep.
So
for another 5 years, according to his contract.
Shouldn't he be embarrassed by this? Like, his greatest pupil in terms of raising someone, right? Isn't Shador supposed to be one of his greatest examples of how I raise young men?
Mm-hmm.
Does he call him immediately and say, what the F are you doing? You're embarrassing the family name. You're embarrassing everyone around you.
No, he probably calls someone at ESPN and says, what's Rex Ryan doing?
And that's exactly why
that's,
this is
that's
what
that
is.
Parent does.
Yep. Yep. And that's your school that continues to hire that guy,
hey man,
as a leader.
You know
of men.
What? I have never, ever been sold on that hire. I've never been leaned in and got excited about it, because I had my doubts from the very beginning.
I heard you paid for it. He's one of those Ted Johnson head coach. You know those places where an alumni pays the coach's salary?
Wow. The talk is, and I got a lot of little birdies in Boulder, is that the alumni, no one came out to our annual fundraiser golf tournament a couple weeks ago. Like, none of the former players.
Oh, really?
And it's a very close group of guys. That 89 and early 90s teams are very, very close and very have strong ties to the team, and he's basically isolated all of them. Doesn't want them around, and so they're not supporting him. He's not supporting them. It's a mess.
Wow.
And Rick George, the athletic director, sneaks in and out of events because he doesn't want to talk to any of the former players. So it's a bad deal there in Boulder right now.
A coach isolating himself from players, media members, and everybody else. What a concept. All right, Ted, you ready, my friend?
I am ready, bud.
All right, here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, before I have Stiz play the audio, I just want everyone to just understand this, that your behaviors are directly tied to your thoughts. You become your thoughts. And with that in mind, let's listen to some Jaren Duran audio from a documentary earlier, or from last year, him talking to himself. Listen up.
And I would think every day, like, I can't do this. I couldn't deal with telling myself how much I sucked every day. Like, I was already hearing it from fans, and like, what they say to me, it's like, I haven't told myself 10 times worse that in the mirror.
So very, very negative talk to himself. And that's, to me, highlights kind of what happened last night in the game. Just so a reminder, I've been telling people this, that no team has led the season in errors and has also won their pennant. Jaren Duran, for a team that led the league in errors this year, the Boston Red Sox, he led all Red Sox in errors this year. And even though last night's play, that muff the catch there, if you will, that was not ruled an error, but it was an error. What I want JD to do is I wish I could get him this, because I have an affirmation book, right? And so today, October 2nd, this is what my affirmation book told me. It said, tell me what you pay attention to, and I will tell you who you are. Where the mind is, there will be the heart. We become what we think about. The idea doesn't halt you in your tracks. It should. Why? Our sense of self is totally reflective, of our habitual thinking patterns. Jaren Duran, change your habitual thinking patterns and you will become a better baseball player.
That's some deep stuff right there.
I like that.
I just, you know.
And I think it's massive for tonight.
My man's just in his head. This negative self-talk is so deflating. He wears it like a badge of honor, like it's a good thing. But it really, I think, impacts his ability to be the best player he can be. He is so wildly skilled and talented, but his head gets in the way too much. And that's the story of Jaren Duran, in my opinion. Until he figures it out between the ears, he's never going to reach his full potential as a ball player.
Yeah, you were the first person I actually thought of, A, when I saw the error, and then B, when I saw post-game the way he took full accountability, which is admirable. That's awesome. But then I was thinking, what is he really thinking when he goes back to the hotel tonight? What's he going to be thinking, I don't know, at 8:08 tonight when he gets out there and might be leading off? We haven't gotten the lineups yet. He could very well be back in the leadoff spot tonight.
And besides that blunder in outfield, I mean, did you see his last at bat? He was the second batter up in the top of the ninth, and he struck out looking.
Yep.
Like you strike out swinging, baby. You strike out. If you're going to go down, you're going to go down on your feet, not on your knees. And he's clearly in his own head. And I just thought those two instances kind of highlight the conundrum that you have with Jaren Duran.
All right, that's going to do it for our three-point stances, but we're going to circle back around to yours, Ted, because Jaren Duran, I think, is a key figure in tonight's game in New York, Game 3, season on the line. What is his mental state in the outfield? What's his mental state in the lineup, especially if he's batting leadoff? I know you have strong feelings about that. We'll get to that a little bit later. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Thursday, 3:30, that means it's time to talk to our guy Tom Curran about Drake May and this matchup with Josh Allen and the Bills on Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, WEEI Afternoons, Thursday afternoon at 3:30, and you know what that means. That's Tom E. Curran time. Tom E. Curran with WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom, how are we doing this week?
Couldn't be better at this point, Andy, to be completely candid.
Wow.
That's awesome. I like that.
Good to hear.
TC needs
good to hear. So, you know who might agree with that in the Patriots world? Drake May. I feel like Drake May has had an uptick in just about everything over the past 3 weeks. That first week, we were asking all these too much on his plate questions. Does he celebrate properly? Does he care about winning? Now he's doing Superman celebrations and having fun. Is this who Drake May is? How much are we just scratching the surface here?
I think he is developing into who he will ultimately be, but he still has a dark side.
Oh, whoa. A dark side.
Do we forget what happened 2 weeks ago when he threw a line drive pick into the end zone against Pittsburgh and then had a ridiculous decision on which he fumbled later in the game when he was certainly all the way, almost all the way fully safe and just taking a simple sack? I mean, that's the thing, is he is amassing so much experience and improving so drastically and putting up statistics that are so enthusiasm building that we're forgetting that the mistakes that he's making are just jaw-droppingly unnecessary. So, yes, the last 2 weeks to me, Andy, were absolute perfect case studies for Drake May to look at. If I don't make a mistake, we can beat a bad team by 36 points. If I make bad mistakes, we can blow an entirely decent and competent chance to beat a team that's maybe even a little bit better than us. and we could have beaten them by 21. That's what he should be saying to himself. So just stop the dumbness, because it's not cured yet.
It's not,
but a good step was he did have a chance where he was getting heat on him and tucked the ball away and Drake, you know, so he learned, I think, maybe from that Steelers game, Tom. But, hey, you know, did you see anything maybe in the game plan of Josh McDaniels, Thomas Brown, and Todd Downing's kind of game plan that gets you excited, the way they were kind of, you know, doing the moving pockets and the way they use their players and getting Steph Diggs involved more in the boundary? Are you starting to see something from the play calling from Josh that has you feeling good about him figuring things out?
Yeah, I think that he, each week, Teddy, and we talked about this a lot in the post game, I think each week he develops a better grasp of what each guy does well and taps into it. And we can sit there and go, well, what about DeMario Douglas? And sure, but I think that there are a finite number of targets and there's a finite number of plays and everybody can't eat all the time. Kayshon Booty hasn't done anything wrong, but he's gone from being a guy who had a 100-yard game early on and got plenty of targets to fewer. So these guys do have to really shelve and pocket their egos and say, I'll get the ball eventually. It's a good quarterback. There's an offensive line. There's a smart offensive coordinator. Do I want to get a playoff game check at the end of the year? Because I probably can. So maybe I can shut my mouth and just wait for the ball to come to me, because it's going to come. And I'm not saying that they're being babies either yet. I haven't heard any of that.
No, none of them are being as immature or idiotic as Shedeur Sanders. Thank God, Tom. So my question is this. We were discussing this earlier in the 3 o'clock hour. Do you think, like, we talk so much about Josh Allen, where, you know, the comps to Drake May when the Patriots play Buffalo, it's all about Josh Allen. But is there a more underrated superstar and offensive threat in the NFL than James Cook?
Boy, he's got, but it's fleeting. Running backs are fleeting. I mean, he's Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs a couple years ago, you know, just you kill it for a year or two and then moving on down. But James Cook has been outstanding. And he is certainly one of the 3 to 5 best backs in the league, if you ask me right now, and just in the terms of the power, the speed, the smoothness with which he runs, he's been great. I think he's averaging 5.4 yards per carry. They're going to be difficult to deal with defensively for a team, the Patriots, who, you know, have really struggled. I looked at this today. So far, the Patriots have allowed touchdowns, 2 touchdowns on the first 2 drives against Pittsburgh, 1 last week, 1 in the first 2 drives against Miami, and I can't remember what I found when I looked at Seattle. Well, touchdown and pick against Seattle. Meanwhile, Buffalo has scored, I think, touchdowns on 7 of the 8 possessions that they've had at the starts of games. So the Patriots cannot afford to fall behind Josh Allen and James Cook. I really went away from the running back question there. I apologize.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's honest, even if he doesn't answer the question you actually ask him. Defensively, we got Christian Gonzalez back last week, so I think we can just put whatever the hell that was with the hamstring and whatever else may or may not have been going on to bed. Are we going to, you think, see this defense now evolve, even if Sunday night could be a bigger challenge than they're up for, maybe, but on the horizon there's some games that could help them. But are we going to see maybe this defense reach its maturity in the coming weeks?
Yeah. The more I think about it, Andy, see if you agree with this or not, they have faced a really good preparatory group of quarterbacks. You know, they saw a veteran. They saw a decent enough talented guy with some good fast wideouts. They saw another extreme veteran. Then they saw a guy with a terrible array of talent around him who's probably going to just be a middling quarterback at best in Bryce Young. And this week they're going to see an MVP. And then they're going to see a slew of guys, your Dylan Gabriels and your Cam Wards, who they should just be able to pound into submission. So I think this is great prep. The way that it has shaped up for them has been really good. So I think the defense will go through this period of time where they see Geno and Rodgers and Josh Allen in 3 of the first 5 games and say, well, we've seen some really good quarterbacks. We know what we can do against Dylan Gabriel.
Hey, Tom, my co-host Andy Hart here said that the offensive line for the Patriots was going to be worse than last year's. How would you assess so far their performance, you know, and particularly Will Campbell? Haven't heard his name called that much. So just how would you assess the offensive line through four games?
I think the offensive line has been the best that it's been since probably 2007. I'm kidding. I just wanted to screw with Andy.
Yeah, you got a reaction out of him.
You got it. There were three Pro Bowlers on that line.
He almost fell off his chair.
Everybody went to the Pro Bowl that year.
Yeah.
They've been very, very, very good. I think that's, if you ask me what the biggest difference has been, I would say it's offensive line before Josh McDaniels. Because Josh can scheme up everything he wants, but if you cannot get adequate protection, then you can't run anything. And they still haven't really developed the run game that you hope that they will if you're a Patriots fan. But the protection, you know, the ability of Ben Brown to be summoned and play left guard in place of Jared Wilson, the performance of Garrett Bradbury, the performance of Morgan Moses, they've been really, really, really solid. I'm not stunned that they've been good. Again, they're going to see more, but they've been... You hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. They just can't have injuries. That's the whole thing. But they've been very, very good, I think. And I know what Andy was saying when he said it.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
You're the one.
What was I saying?
We still did get into a pissing contest over it.
Yeah, you called me wrong-headed radio from 2 to 6. It was hurtful. Even though on your station, I saw a graphic under Phil Perry talking about the line that said atrocious.
Wow, that was not too
don't
deep.
Don't blame the him for the cryons or whatever they're called.
Chirons.
Right.
Now, cryon is what we do here every afternoon from 2 to 6.
Yeah, they've been good. Hey, Fitzy.
Hey, buddy.
I am way over-caffeinated. Right,
so, yeah, what is going on with you? You going to make it? You going to be okay?
He's doing good. I
You know what it is? I didn't eat... Yet I have not yet had my lunch, and I just had a coffee.
Damn!
And finished that. So I'm a little bit wired right now, and I'm about to be probably pretty surly in the next 40 minutes.
All right, we'll let you go before that happens.
Yeah, before the crash, I'll ask you a quickie. Hey, so Tommy, if we're looking for someone to go off, for someone to be the playmaker, obviously. You know, we see Diggs could emerge, and Hunter Henry's been great, and Ramondre's still getting reps. Is there anyone that you think in the next game or two or three is going to, like, go off and become a given touchdown machine or big playmaker for this offense? Anyone you see popping off anytime soon?
I could see where you were going with that question. So in my mind's eye, I tried to formulate somebody who has been under a rock and just waiting to blossom. Mm-hmm. I thought about Austin Hooper. I'm like, but Hooper is Hooper. I mean, he's playing pretty good, and he's probably not going to turn himself into the next coming of Dave Casper. So it's not going to be him. And we kind of know who everybody and what everybody is. So the only guy I could imagine would be Kyle Williams or Travion Henderson. I add those two. Those two rookies, because we have yet to see them really tap into the potential that they clearly have. Mm-hmm. So why don't we go with nobody this week? Because I think it's going to be hard for them to live up to the expectations people have after last week. So nobody's going to do anything this week that makes them go, oh, my God. But the next 5 or 6 weeks, you're going to see some guys develop.
All right, Tom, Sunday night, big game. Bills are the measuring stick. Vrabel's talked about it. Mays talked about it. But I've heard you say, with Jones and Keefe, I think it was, this team still has some stupid to it, and you just told us that Drake May still has a dark side. Are those going to rear their ugly heads Sunday night in Buffalo? What are you predicting?
Yeah, they haven't shown me enough consistency with their performance to make me believe that they can do it against a good team and that they can do it week to week, because so far this year, they've alternated weeks. Drake May has alternated weeks. Mm-hmm. First week, not so good with the decision-making. Second week, terrific. Third week, not so good. Fourth week, terrific. Uh-oh. This would be a bad week to have an off week with the decision-making. So I'm going to say they are not coming out with more points than the other team.
All right, how about the Red Sox? Well, they have more runs than the Yankees.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The local baseball team.
Walpole's Cam Schlittler on the mound?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Schlittler.
Yes, the Red Sox win. Red Sox win.
Wow.
All right.
Even with your caffeine, you kind of faded as you made that pick. I didn't really buy what you were selling there. All right, Tom.
Go eat a sandwich, man.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week, man.
See ya.
All right, kids. Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
That was Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We appreciate the caffeination.
Couldn't do radio on an empty stomach over caffeinated. Couldn't do it.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it.
I'd be over my skis. I'd say something really stupid.
Ooh, so let's try it sometime.
Caloric intake is very important. You got to have something in your belly if you're going to do this job, or else you get a little lightheaded and you say something you're going to regret later.
Been there, done that, haven't we all? 617-779-7937. We'll react to Tom Curran and his thoughts on the dark side of Drake May that's left, but more importantly, we continue to react to Red Sox lose 4-3 in New York. They play the decisive game of the series tonight. It'll be Connolly early on the mound. A little Jackson Dart look to him as he takes the mound. We'll get Ted Johnson's thoughts on what happened last night and what's going to happen tonight. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he is developing into who he will ultimately be, but he still has a dark side.
Whoa!
Do we forget what happened 2 weeks ago when he threw a line drive pick into the end zone against Pittsburgh and then had a ridiculous decision on which he fumbled later in the game when he was almost all the way fully safe and just taking a simple sack? The last 2 weeks to me, Andy, were absolute perfect case studies for Drake May to look at. If I don't make a mistake, we can beat a bad team by 36 points. If I make bad mistakes, we can blow an entirely decent and competent chance to beat a team that's maybe even a little bit better than us. And we could have beaten them by 21. That's what he should be saying to himself. So just stop the dumbness because it's not cured yet.
A dark side for Drake May. Stop the dumbness. It has not yet been cured, says Wet Blanket and highly caffeinated Tom Curran.
Not with any real assuredness. I mean, it's, you know, he's knocked it off for a couple games. The two games that didn't even have a turnover, they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, can you do it back to, can we win two games back to back? Can we have two games in a row where we don't have turnovers? It has yet to happen this year.
No.
Yeah,
no.
It's only every other so far.
I also believe, I'd have to check my notes, and Ted Johnson might have it somewhere in his legal pads where he stores everything. There's the Bills have won the turnover battle for a lot of games in a row.
26 straight games. It's a record.
So you think the Patriots that we've seen are going to break a 26 game streak? Does that make sense to you? Is that logical?
No one thought the Steelers were going to beat our 21 game win streak back in 2004 with a rookie quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger. So anything's possible, Andy.
Anything is possible. 28-3. There's millions of them. Would you put any money on it?
I would not. Not any of my hard-earned
money. Safe bet is Bills will win the turnover battle. It might only be 1-0 or 2-1 or so. It could be close. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we have another Steelers game. I just don't know that the Patriots are ready in that environment. It's going to be fun. It's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a fun one for you here. Andy. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
You like a little fun stat, boys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So if Drake May does not throw a pick on Sunday, and Ramondre Stevenson or any of the running backs do not put the ball on the carpet, let's say the Pats have a clean game, no turnovers, Josh Allen has thrown at least a pick in 1, 2, 3, 4 straight starts against the Patriots. That would represent Buffalo not winning the turnover battle if he stays on serve.
I think there is 0.0 chance that Drake May doesn't throw an interception. And I don't want to steal take snake Greg Bedard. Drake May yesterday at his press conference was talking about how he's going to be all amped up. It's Buffalo. It's going to be a fun environment. When we've thought about him being amped up, what has he done? He's airmailed balls. There will be a ball that goes over the middle that deflects off somebody's hands and some safety or somebody behind him is going to pick it off. Because he's also gotten away with a few where he's, as Tom Curran referenced, like hits a guy in the chest early in the game and the guy doesn't catch it. You know, he's still walking that line. So,
the perfect guide to this, just tell Drake, you know, look what happened last year when you went into Buffalo and you lost 24-21.
Yeah.
The Patriots had 3 turnovers in that game. The Bills had 1. They were +2 in the turnover margin, and that was the difference in the game. Don't turn the ball over, and you can beat the Buffalo Bills. It's that simple.
That sounds easy. That sounds easy, Ted. I agree with you, but sometimes it's hard to actually execute that against a team, not only with the defense. Forget the defense, but the pressure of, I said this yesterday, the Bills have scored 30-plus points every game. So while Drake May can be told, you're not actually playing Josh Allen, you are, because you need to score 30 points in all likelihood to win this game. So there's a pressure to score points that creates what? Like, oh, I'm going to take a chance. Oh, I can make this throw. I can do this. I can make that play. And then all of a sudden, it's a turnover.
Tom said something that I thought found interesting. Can I say it real quick?
It's your world.
You're looking
We're just living in it.
Like, you'd rather be somewhere else right now.
I got to look at the clock at all times. Stiz yells at me.
All right, here we go. So Tom mentioned something like 8 straight drives where they scored points. And you're like, well, wait, there's only been 4 games. So I knew what he was wanted to say was basically they have scored on the opening drive every time this year of every game and the opening drive to start the second half.
They being the Bills.
The Bills. So they scored a touchdown opening drive to start the game against the Ravens and to start the second half against the Ravens. They scored a touchdown against the Jets to open the game and then scored a field goal to start the second drive their first drive in the second half. Dolphins, touchdowns on both opening drives of each half, and last week against the Saints, touchdowns and opening drives in both halves of the game. So that's 8 drives, 52 points the Buffalo Bills have done and scored. So the Patriots better be ready.
No, they never give up points on the first drive.
Opening drives.
Come on, so, is that a problem?
And it's been an issue for this defense. So if you just eliminate opening drive scoring drives, you're going to win the game.
I love the rule. So don't turn it over.
Yep.
And don't let the other team score to start the first quarter or the third quarter.
That's it, bub.
You do all of those simple things, and Ted Johnson's plan to victory will be yours. You'll come away from Sunday Night Football with a victory.
Sounds and the 4 interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all that.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling about the Red Sox in New York tonight? How are you feeling about the Patriots in Buffalo on Sunday? We'll do a little bit more Bills-Patriots talk. This is a big game because 4:30, we're going to get the most energetic and entertaining analyst in Boston, Lou Merlone. He's been walking the streets of New York for hours, eating bacon and talking to dogs. He'll finally talk to us 4:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball does not have what's trending because it's top of the hour. We'll be back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.